Well, good morning. What a joy it is to see so many of you here this morning on this wonderful sunny day, and so grateful for Florida. I'm so grateful for the warmth. I've been up in Michigan the last couple weeks. It's just cold up there, you know? It's just rainy and cold, and landed here on Friday and was like, yeah, this feels good. You know what I'm saying? You guys are like, no, I'd rather be up in the cool. You would not rather be up in the cool. Let me just tell you. It's good to get away. It's good to be back. It's good to see you all and to be with you. I'm so grateful for our own elder pastor, Shepherd Randy Olson, who opened up God's Word with you last week. Yeah, amen. Such a great word and challenge from Psalm 146. Where he challenged us to consider what man says versus what God says. And I want to piggyback off of that thought for a moment as way of introduction into our psalm this morning, and to just think about, what does man say is good? So if I were to say to you, fill in the blank, it is good to what? What does man say that is good? I am not one for AI. I'm not too excited about AI. It freaks me out. But Amir has this little program on his computer, and I said, why don't you just type into the AI, what does man say is good, and see what it spits out. In like 30 seconds, it spit out all this. And this is what it said. When people say it is good for you, they often refer to things or actions that are beneficial, healthy, or advantageous in some way. Here are some common contexts in which people might use this phrase. Like, it would have taken me 30 seconds just to craft that sentence, okay? And then it says this, health and wellness, eating nutritional foods like fruits and vegetables, exercise regularly, getting enough sleep. Well, we all know that, okay? But man says that's good. Personal development, reading books or learning new skills to expand knowledge, engaging in self-reflection and mindful practices, setting and working towards personal goals for growth. Okay, these are good things, but they're not God things, right? So these are things that man says are good. Relationships, spending quality time with loved ones and nurturing relationships, communicating openly and honestly in relationships, forgiving others and letting go of grudges for emotional well-being. Here's one, spirituality and faith. Like, what does man know about that? Nothing. This is what they say. Praying or meditating to connect with a higher power. Lame. Attending religious or spiritual gatherings for community and support. Lame. Practicing gratitude and cultivating a positive mindset. I give him like a 4 on that one. Okay, and then it goes on. Financial responsibility, ethics, and moral choices. Okay, what does man say? We're not interested in what man says, are we? What does God say is good? That's what we're going to see this morning in Psalm 92, what God says is good. And I want us to look there this morning. So if you have your Bibles, open them up with me to Psalm 92. And let us stand and honor the Word of God, and let us read together what God says is good. It says this, Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to Yahweh, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with the 10-string lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Yahweh, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Yahweh! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, and a fool does not understand this, that when the wicked flourished like grass and all the workers of iniquity blossomed, it was only that they might be destroyed forever. But you are on high forever, O Yahweh. For behold, your enemies, O Yahweh, for behold, your enemies will perish. All the workers of iniquity will be scattered. But you have raised up my horn like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eyes have looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of Yahweh. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be rich and fresh to declare that Yahweh is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Psalm 92. Go ahead and have a seat. Our big idea this morning is it's simply right from the first verse. It is good to praise Yahweh. It is good to praise Yahweh. You say, what is good? It is good to give thanks. It's good to give thanks. To whom? To Yahweh God. He is the object of our praise. This morning, if you are thanking anything other than Yahweh God, there is a faultiness to what it is in your heart. And that needs to be examined. Because it is good for us that we would give thanks. It is good for us that we would praise Yahweh. Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see that Yahweh is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." We sing praise to him because he is good. And that is good for us. Now the word good here is the word that it literally means it is appropriate, it is fitting, it is right, it is actual, it is good for us, it is fitting for us, it is appropriate for us to give thanks to Yahweh. The psalmist here is affirming the very value of praising God in and with our lives. It's good for us to praise God. Go ahead and just say that. It's good for me to praise God. Yeah. And that is not saying that it makes us feel good, though it does, I believe. It goes way beyond that. It is a refreshment to our soul to praise God. This week I was up in Michigan, and I was running to the store. And where we are, we're about 20 minutes, I mean, from the local grocery store. And so when I left the cabin, I had some things on my heart that were heavy, and I was driving to the store, and it was about 20 minutes. And I don't normally do this, because normally when I'm in the car, I'm on the phone, but in Michigan, I have no signal, so I couldn't be on the phone. So I turned the radio on, and I listened to WCSG, which is the Christian radio station in Grand Rapids. And God used the lyrics of the words of the songs just to minister to my soul. It was good to praise the Lord. It was refreshing to me to praise the Lord and just hear these lyrics and let them wash over my soul for that 20-minute ride until I got back after being in the store, got back in the car, turned the radio back on. Why? Because it is good to praise the Lord. It is good to praise Yahweh. It's always good for us to praise God, whether you're in a good place or in a bad place. Whether you're in the valley of the shadow of death or if you're in perfect health and your picture looks great right now, it is good to praise Yahweh. I'll never forget our dear brother who passed away this past spring, Rod Connell, when he was diagnosed with his cancer about 2 years ago. As elders, we gathered in our conference room right over here. And we gathered around him, and we anointed him with oil, and we prayed, and it was before the service on Sunday morning. His brother was in the room, and we all prayed over him and asked God first and foremost that he would bring spiritual healing if it was his will. And then secondly, physical healing if it was his will, but secondly, we thank God for the spiritual healing that he had already brought into Rod's life and the hope that was his if this wasn't to be his will. And I'll never forget what Rod did when we finally said amen. He slapped his hand on the table and he said, "Let us get up and go praise the Lord." As we got out of the conference room and walked right in here to begin the first service. It is good to praise the Lord. Because when we're praising God and we're reflecting upon who he is, it takes a lot of attention off of the things that bring anxious thoughts to our heart as we reflect upon all the things that we worry about. Look what it says here. It says, it is good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. I don't want to fly by that verse. I don't want to skip through that section because O Most High is the Hebrew word El Elyon. It's used 23 times in the Psalms. It is exalting the position of God in heaven. It is to say that there is no one like him. He is over all. He is above all. He is higher than any. Everything else is below him. There is no other God that is greater than Yahweh, O Most High, El Elyon, the sovereign God over all. In fact, Psalm 97, verse 1 says this, Yahweh reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around him. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of Yahweh, at the presence of the Lord of all the earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion heard this and was glad. And the daughters of Judah have rejoiced because of your judgments, O Yahweh, for you are Yahweh Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. There is one true God, and he is Yahweh, and he is the Most High, and he is exalted above all other false deities, including Satan himself. He is sovereign over them all. He is above them all. And we are called to give thanks to that one this morning, to praise his name this morning, to sing praises to him this morning. Notice verse 2, he says this. He says, to give thanks there, the verb there is indicating a public profession of thanks, not privately, but publicly. Why, you say? Because this is the song of the Sabbath day. This is the song of the Sabbath day. In fact, this song, even today, Amir tells me that even today is sung every day or every Saturday in church in Israel in multiple churches across the land. It is the song of the Sabbath day. And it is meant to be publicly proclaimed the goodness and the grace and the faithfulness and loving kindness of God. Look at verse 2. He says this. He says, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with the 10-string lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. Loving kindness and faithfulness often are paired together. We see that quite a bit. In fact, if we were just to switch back here a couple pages to Psalm 89, if you just turn your Bibles a couple pages back in Psalm 89, verse 1 and 2, he says, I will sing of the loving kindness of Yahweh forever. From generation to generation, I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. Verse 3, I have cut a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. Verse 24, he says, my faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him. Faithfulness and loving kindness. Loving kindness is that Hebrew word hesed. It is his faithful covenant love for his people. And as recipients of God's faithful covenant love, we should never, ever tire of bringing him praise and declaring, what does it say? To declare his loving kindness and his faithfulness. We should never tire of this. We should do it often. Psalm 75, 9 says, but as for me, I will declare it forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob. Is that your heart this morning? Notice here he says, your loving kindness when in the morning and your faithfulness by night. I love the fact that it's loving kindness and faithfulness. Faithfulness speaking to God's loyal, steadfast love for his people. But I love the fact that we can emphasize something about loving kindness and faithfulness and how they're often paired together in the scriptures and what that is to us and how awesome that is to us. But I also love the fact that it is constant. He's saying that we are to declare this in the morning and the night. It is all the time. We should be a people that praise the name of God, who give thanks to Yahweh all the time. Why? Because of his loving kindness and his faithfulness, because of his covenant love for you and for me, and because of his steadfast faithfulness to you and to me. And so when we gather in this place, when we come into this place to worship God, we should not just stand and look at the lyrics of a song. We should have a heartfelt gratitude that just lifts high with our voices the words that we're singing, because it is good to praise Yahweh. It is good. And I think sometimes people, I'm not saying you, I'm not saying me, but sometimes people think, I don't know if I want to go to church this morning. You know, I've never known anybody who was a sports fan who had a ticket to a massive event that said, you know, I'm not sure I really want to go to that game today. We ought to be so excited on Sunday morning to get into this place. I'm telling you what, I love gathering together with God's people in worship. I love it. In fact, when we're in Michigan, my job is to get up early, go down to the store and get donuts and bring them back, because you got to have donuts on Sunday morning, right? And so, yeah, at least that's what my grandkids tell me. And so we gather around and we watch the service here because I love this church. And it's good for us to praise the Lord together. And we should stand and sing with all of our might, that the breath of our lungs will be a reflection of our gratitude for his steadfast loving kindness and his faithfulness to us. It is good and right for us to praise God. And if it is, then what are the grounds for us for doing so? Look at verse 4 and 5. He says this, "For you, O Yahweh, have made me glad by what you have done. How great are your works, O Yahweh! Your thoughts are very deep. I will sing," sorry, I missed that little part. "I will sing for joy at the works of your hands." He says, "For you, O Yahweh, have made me glad." How? By the works of your hands. How great are your works? Your thoughts are very deep. Therefore, I'm going to sing for joy at the works of your hands. That's the motivation. It is his works that cause us to praise him and brings great joy to our hearts. Let me just ask you this morning, are you glad? Do you have joy in your heart this morning? Has he made you glad? Our first thought this morning that we're going to look at is this. It is good to praise Yahweh because his works are great. He has made us glad, and therefore we will rejoice in him. And I know I always do this to you guys, and I'm sorry, but this is such a great line here. You remember the old chorus? He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, and he has made me glad. Amen? Right? We should rejoice because he's made us glad. Why? How? By his works. By his works. You say, well, Pastor, what works is he referring to here? Well, nothing in specific, but I would just apply a few for us this morning. How about his very creation? He spoke it into being. And it was. And it still speaks for him today. Okay, well, I'm on a singing mode. I got to go there again, okay? Every time I'm in Colorado and I'm on the top of the mountain, I'm looking out at these beautiful mountains, I cannot but not praise God. And the song that comes to my mind all the time is, "Even the mountains praise you, the rocks and the hills cry out," right? "Even when man cannot understand," what? Oh, you guys don't know that one. "The earth lifts its voices to shout," right? The very creation of God praises Yahweh all the time. Psalm 19, verse 1 says it this way. It says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the expanse is declaring the works of his hands." Just look around you. This week, I was sitting in my office one night, and everybody else was kind of, doing other things, and I was sitting in my office. I was trying to get ready for the message on Sunday, and I looked out the window, and there was this beautiful sky. And I said, I got to go outside. I got to take a picture of it. And I just took a picture, and I thought, the heavens declare the glory of God. If you don't believe that God is active and is working, look at his creation all around you. His works declare his majesty. What about the Exodus? You got creation. What about the Exodus? When God took his people away from the evildoers of Egypt and then brought them across the Red Sea. Psalm 106 actually talks about this. In verse 7, it says this, "Our fathers in Egypt did not consider your wondrous deeds. They did not remember your abundant loving kindness, but they rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for the sake of his name, that he might make his might known. Thus he rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up, and he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. So he saved them from the hand of the one who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversities. Not one of them was left." Then what does it say? "Then they believed his words, and they sang his praises." What an awesome thought. The works of God are awesome. The works of God are great, and they should spur praise from our hearts. You have creation, you have the Exodus. What about the incarnation, or the announcement of the incarnation in Luke chapter 2, when the angel comes and he says, in Luke chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And just the very announcement of that to the people caused the heavenlies. Look at verse 30. "And suddenly there appeared with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" Creation, the Exodus, the incarnation. Jesus himself said he came what? To seek and to save the lost. He came to give his life as a ransom for the many. What about the resurrection? Resurrection. Matthew 28, another beautiful text. Matthew 28 says this, verse 6, it says, "They came, Mary, Martha," you remember, they run to the tomb, and what did they see? The angel says, "He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said, come, see the place where he was lying." And they go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. "And behold, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly and with fear and great joy. That's really interesting. Two amazing emotions, fear and great joy. They left the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to report to the disciples. Say, well, what about the ascension? The ascension. The Gospels say that they went back to Jerusalem after Jesus had ascended, and they rejoiced exceedingly great joy. The works of God are great. The works of God are amazing. In fact, Luke chapter 15 reminds us in the parable of the seeking after the lost sheep. And it says this in verse 7, "I tell you that in the same way there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." There's joy in heaven when people repent. The works of God are amazing. And let me just encourage you this morning, God is at work here at the Grove. God is at work here in this community. And God is at work at large, and he continues to be at work at large. And these truths here that we're discussing right now, his mighty works, are referring to his mighty acts of saving people by his divine intervention. And when it looks like everything else is just caving in, when it looks like we're stacked up against all the odds, let these truths marinate over your heart and mind, and remember that God is still at work and that his works are great. And that would cause your heart to praise him this morning. Let me ask you, do these thoughts make your heart glad? Are you looking for a reason this morning to praise God? Let me just encourage you for a second. Don't even look further than yourself. And I'm just speaking to those who are believers in the room. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nowhere to look even other than to your own heart. Ask yourself, do you remember what you once were? Ephesians 2, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were walking according to the power of the prince of the air. You had no chance at life eternal with Christ. But God, in his mercy, made you alive together with Christ. You have been saved. I don't think you need to look anywhere else. If you're looking for motivation to praise God this morning, you just remember what you once were. But it also should remind us of what we are now. So remember back, but be reminded of where you are today. And what is that response? Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that in him, we also, having been made an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, to the end that we who first have hoped in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. God has saved you and me from eternal damnation for the purpose of the praise of his glory. It is good to praise Yahweh. It is good for us to praise Yahweh. He is worthy of our praise all the time. So let me ask you, what is preventing your heart's attitude this morning from praising God? If the psalmist is teaching us this morning that his works result in our praising him, then what keeps our focus from doing so? How can we keep our focus on his mighty deeds? I came up with a few practicals just for us quickly here this morning, three practicals to keep our hearts of praise, to keep the hearts aflamed, to stoke a heart continually. Number one, meditate on his word. Meditate on his word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have success." The LSB changed those. Oh, wow. Sorry, I memorized it years ago. Can't change that. Meditate on the word. Meditate on it. Talk about it. Talk about the word. Deuteronomy 6, what a great text. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." I'm so grateful for the example that my father and mother-in-law were to me as a young man, as a young father. I mean, you could not sit at the table with my father-in-law where we weren't talking about things of the Lord. You could not go for a walk with my father-in-law when you were not discussing things of the Lord. We could not sit in the business room discussing a multi-million dollar deal at the same time discussing the goodness and the greatness of God that was worthy of our praise. Because it was in him, like garlic, when you eat garlic, it exuded from him. Everything about him was talking about the word, the person of Jesus Christ. Is that you? Talk about his word. You want to be a good parent? Talk about his word. Let your children hear you discussing the scripture. Let your children examine the thoughts of the scripture. Get with them, talk through it with them, help them. How about this practical thought? Memorize his word. memorize his word. Psalm 119 says this. It says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." Not only is his word good for preventing sin because we have memorized it and then recalling it to mind in temptation, but it is good for us to be constantly be meditating on the memorized verses that we have in our heads as we go through our day, as we encounter various trials, and we remember the word of God. It brings encouragement to our soul. What if you just this week just took verse 1? It is good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And you just said, this week, I'm going to rise in the morning. I'm going to say, it is good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises to Him, Most High. And as you went through your day and as you encountered difficulties, you said, it's good to sing praise to Yahweh. And as you had a difficulty or a disagreement with somebody and you're saying, it is good to praise. It is good to sing praises. Just let that marinate on your heart and on your mind. Well, the psalm goes on. The psalm has a reminder for us. There is one who praises God for his works because they have put joy into their hearts. But there's also one who ignores the works of Yahweh. And to these, they will perish. Our second thought this morning, it says, it is good to praise Yahweh because he is sovereign over his enemies. Look at verse 6. It says, a senseless man does not know, and a fool does not understand this, that when the wicked flourished like grass and all the workers of iniquity blossomed, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. But you are on high forever, O Yahweh. For behold, your enemies, O Yahweh, for behold, your enemies will perish. All the workers of iniquity will be scattered. He's sovereign over his enemies. God is sovereign and just over his enemies. Why doesn't the godless praise Yahweh? Look what it says. They're senseless. The word there for senseless means a brute man. Almost, the word is also used to describe animals. An animal of a being, if you will. I mean, no wonder that the senseless mind gravitates to the evolutionary thinking because they're senseless. They're animal beings, brute men. But what else does he say? He says, a fool does not understand this either. They don't understand the depths of the thoughts of God. How great are the thoughts of God? In the end of verse 5, your thoughts are very deep. You can go to Psalm 8 and you can see the thoughts of God. Or Romans 11:33, unsearchable are the thoughts of God. But a senseless man doesn't know this, and a fool doesn't understand it. A fool is prideful. A fool is arrogant. A fool doesn't listen to counsel. A fool is not able to be guided, yet super self-confident in their own path. That's the definition of a fool. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in its end, it leads to death. A fool is an expert at all sorts of things except his or her relationship with God. They're in total darkness. A fool does not understand this, it says. You say, well, why? Well, partially because the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. And they draw attention to themselves rather than drawing attention to God. They refuse to believe that there is a most high God, and so they choose to reject him. And they have zero understanding of the very depths of the things of God and what he has done. That's why Psalm 14 says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. You say, but pastor, it says that they flourish. Yeah, you're right. They do. For a short season. In fact, it's one of the things that Solomon recognized in Ecclesiastes. He said, I'm trying to come to grips with the reality of the fact that the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. And how does that work? And God's like, it'll all work out in the end. But what does it say here? It says that they flourish. They do like the grass. What do we know about the grass? Isaiah 40 says that the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Grass, if without water, doesn't do so great, does it? And in the middle of this judgment, if you will, that God is speaking of upon the unregenerate, the one that is senseless, the fool that believes there is no God, who has rejected the great works of God, and won't recognize Yahweh as the Most High. In the middle of this, there is one statement in verse 8 where it says, but you are on high forever, O Yahweh. Some of your Bibles might say, but you are Most High, O Yahweh, on high forever, in the LSB here translated. But in some Bibles it says Most High. It's the same word as in verse 1. This is El Elyon. You are Most High. You are Most High. And the fool rejects the Most High God. The fool rejects the Most High God. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've been walking through this world and, man, it's all been about you. Everything you do comes back to you. It is the motivation for everything you do. It is the burden for everything you do. It all comes back to who you are. And what God's saying is, that's foolish. That's senseless. Because you will not recognize the works of God. And this morning, I would just implore you to recognize the Most High God for who He is, who is sovereign over all, who is above all, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no one like Him and nobody that ever will be like Him. And in Him, you can have life and life eternal. But without, what does it say? Verse 9, for behold your enemies, O Yahweh, for behold your enemies will perish. All the workers of iniquity will be scattered. Another word for judgment. They will be judged. There are some who praise and there are some who perish. And this morning, if you're on the path of perishing, I would just implore you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To turn away from the wrath that is to come upon you. And to receive the free gift of life that only comes by faith in Christ. There is a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father but through Jesus. So call on Him this morning. May He be your joy this morning. May His works, where He came to this world, lived a perfect life, went to the cross for your sin, was put into the tomb for 3 days. God, in His power, resurrected Him out of the tomb. And that same power has the power to change your heart this morning. If you would just yield yourself unto Jesus Christ this morning, that you might have life, that you don't live the destiny of the fool. Move on. There's a third thought this morning, and that is, it is good to praise Yahweh because He strengthens and secures the righteous. It is good to praise Yahweh because He strengthens and secures the righteous. Look at verse 10. But you have raised up my horn like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes, and my ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of Yahweh. They will flourish in the courts of God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be rich and fresh. It is good to praise Yahweh because He strengthens and secures the righteous. Notice what it says, he has raised up my horn. He has raised up my horn. Psalm 75, verse 9 and 10 say this. Just turning back a few pages. Says this, but as for me, I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob, and all the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be raised up. God has promised that he is going to exalt us, that he is going to lift us up, those of the righteous. And how is one righteous? Because we've received his righteousness. Because we've received his righteousness. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. And so if that's you this morning, there's much to praise him for. There's much to rejoice over this morning. You've been anointed with fresh oil, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And look at verse 12. What are the gains, if you will, of praising God? Look at verse 12. It says this. It says, the gains of the praising God, the result of praising God, the blessing of praising God is that the righteous will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. This is the only mention of the palm tree in the Psalms. But it's completely different than the grass, isn't it? The grass withers. The palm tree, we know, here in Florida, right, withstands unbelievable winds. We also know that a palm tree is fruitful for a long time in life and even fruitful in the desert where it's dry. And so the righteous will flourish in times of great watering, in times of great dryness. Why? Because God has made us glad. Because he has made you glad. Because of his works. You'll have spiritual productivity. Psalm 1 says this. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is where? In the law of Yahweh. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which will yield its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Is that where you want to be planted? Where's the righteous planted? What does it say here? Verse 13, in the house of Yahweh. They're planted in the house of Yahweh. They flourish in the courts of our God. If you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, then we can recognize that we have been planted in the house of God. And we will flourish in his courts. And we will be fruitful. There will be spiritual productivity, but there's also spiritual growth. We grow like the cedar in Lebanon. The cedars in Lebanon were strong, mighty, huge girth, tall trees, with great growth. But we're also fruitful. Verse 14, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be rich and fresh. Spiritual fruitfulness will come as a result of a heart that praises Yahweh. The results of the righteous, the blessings of the righteous are flourishing, growth, fruitfulness. Why? Why? So that we might have passion to proclaim. What's he say in verse 15? To declare that Yahweh is upright. God has redeemed you and me, and he has given us great blessing for one purpose, that we would declare, that we would declare that Yahweh is upright, that we would praise him for his works and declare that he is upright. And I trust this morning that you will resonate with the words here at the end of the psalm, he is my rock. Is he your rock this morning? There's no unrighteousness in him. Oh, that you would see and hear and heed the words of Psalm 92 this morning. I wanted to conclude our service a little bit different than we normally would. Because this is the song of the Sabbath, And because Amir mentioned that it is sung in Israel at most churches on Saturdays when they gather for worship, I wanted you just to meditate on this song. As we hear the song sung in Hebrew and with the English captions underneath, compare it to what we've just heard and allow us to meditate on, allow that, those truths to meditate in your heart this morning, and then we'll conclude in prayer.
להודות לאדוני ולזמר לשמחה עליון, להגיד בבוקר חסדך ואמונתך בלילות.
Out in prayer. Father God, we do rejoice, and we gather this morning to give you praise. We come with thankful hearts to sing praise to you, O Most High, and to declare your loving kindness and your faithfulness continually. And so, Father, we ask, if it's your will, that you would go before us as we walk from this place, that our lives would be a true reflection of those who have been fully arrested by your truth this morning, and whose hearts will exude praise into this community in the coming week. So have your way amongst us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are loved. Have a great Sunday afternoon.